Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Welcome you to Missing Pages of History. That's right, we want to wake up everybody. We want to make a new day and a better day. We want to help be underserved communities and create a humanity that's just and fair for all mankind. As always, on Missing Pages of History, we want to share with you information that will enlighten you, inspire you to be a better person. At this point in time, for today's program, we will talk about lessons that need to be learned. That's right, our theme is lessons that need to be learned. To discuss the theme with us, as always, we have our contributor, our analyst, and our historian, Emmanuel. He will share his views and perspectives on various issues, topics, as well as share advice with you on different things that we can do to make our community better. So right now, before we talk about lessons that need to be learned, we'd like to bring in our contributor, our historian, and our analyst, Emmanuel. We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
Okay, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, we're talking about lessons that need to be learned. There are so many things going on today. Let's start with one of our most hot topics for this week, which is the Bill Cosby story. It was recently took place in court around Bill Cosby and his allegation of sexual harassment of women. So, Emmanuel, give our people an update on that, your analysis, and what lessons can we learn from this particular saga that's going on with Bill Cosby?
Well, you learn a lot about the justice system. Bill Cosby, he's almost 81 years of age. This happened quite many years ago. This was a thing that was going on in Hollywood and other places. And there were sexual allegations going on again, that he allegedly assaulted women using, you might say, drugs in a sense, sexual drugs. And he sort of got out there, maybe a little heavier than most. But again, he was married to Camille, very powerful man, probably the most powerful man on TV at that particular time. And he used his power unjustly sometimes. Now, all I'm saying is there's a double standard. You have a guy sits in the White House who allegedly, you might say, assaulted or might say had a certain way with women. And he just sits there and he says, "I deny it." He just said, "I deny it." They're all lying. 19 women lying and other women lying. That's all he had to say. And it was accepted, per se. Well, Bill Cosby should have done the same thing. We just come out of another mode, I guess. I think he paid $3.5 million to one woman. He had some, they had some tapes on him from future trial, from past, you might say, past trials in the system of justice. I had mixed emotions about this whole thing. I think it's too old, first of all. I think it's just a bunch of old white women trying to get some money. Where it's true or not true, or something alleged or not legible. I just think that this is just much too old. Why are we redoing this? Why? It's over. Past justice of women, special powerful guys in Hollywood, all the time. I think Tom Brokaw has a thing going on now also. So how are we going to deal with this? Only person right now that seems to be going to jail, could go into prison, is Bill Cosby. He could die in jail, basically. They're going to appeal, of course. The appeal will take a little while. He's out. I think they're sentencing between 60 and 90 days, but they're going to appeal before that particular time. And again, we're just burning up money, burning up, like I said, just a discord in my book. Gloria Allred, this is what she's known for. So just do some forgiving here. It's over. This is old. So why are we relitigating this type of stuff? I don't know why. But again, we're talking about an 81-year-old man. This man should be dead and gone 30 years ago. Why? My answer is still why. It's a gossip type thing at the moment. It's making headlines and making news for negativism again. And I read a book, I can't think of the name of the book at the moment. But to say that make sure that we report 90% news on black people negative all the time. So what I'm saying is that make sure 90% of the news on black people are negative. And this is one of the negative news that we're going to keep doing. 90%. We only get 10% good news, people. 10% good news. As you notice, look at your, check your, you know, your television, check your radio, check your newspapers. You find negative news on us, it's 90% of the time it's negative. And this is written. Say something somebody, you know, this is what has to happen at all given time. Because of the double standards. And they want to keep it this way. As I get more into the, you might say, black affairs, as you get into more in the capitalismist type of thing, you'll see where the 90% will be exposed in all given matters to make sure that the reports on us only 10% positive. Hope I answered some of your questions. I did the best I could with that, because this is really something.
One of the things I noticed about this trial, and maybe you can add some clarity to it, this recent trial they held in Philadelphia on them, they allowed 5 additional young ladies to come in to testify against him. But he was only being accused of or being tried for just for one individual. Is that something normally done in any kind of court hearing where you can bring in additional information, additional people in the middle of the trial? And is that something normal? Because it seems like they'd be very prejudicial. You can bring additional folks in just to tilt towards one particular perspective. What do you know about this whole process?
Yeah, the judge has to allow that. The judge allows that. That's why it happened. Yeah, the judge can allow that, yes. It's not normal. But again, there's a window for that. And the glory already used that window. It was very effective. Very effective, yeah. But like I said, not normal. But again, that window was open. And Gloria already used that window.
But like you said earlier, man, and, you know, this audience can weigh in on it. If you just look at the process, how they're dealing with him, it seems something unbalanced. And I'm saying unbalanced from the point of view that when you look at his trial, I think Felicia Rashad, she stated recently that there are some powerful individuals that were out to get him and seemed more orchestrated. What do you think about that particular response from Felicia Rashad?
Well, Ms. Rashad would know more about that. Of course, she worked with him for a long time. She knows Bill like a brother. And it's just amazing that some of the accusations that happen, and he's going to be ripped of a lot of things. Probably some of his degrees he got from prestigious universities. They're going to do what they can to make sure that we learn a lesson. Because he was the daddy. He was the father of TV for a long time, especially black people. The ideal family, Dr. Huxtable. So this is just, make sure they put this imprint in your mind that we still control you. We still control you. It's all about controlling. It's part of the controlling act. And also, like I said before, 90% negative news all given times.
Yeah, because, you know, I think the point about when you look at his case, it's sometimes bigger than just him as an individual. And I agree with you, man. A lot of it is also about images. Maybe break down the positive image that he had when in the community, when in the world. And every time we come to, you know, people of color, if it's something positive, you have been forced to try to break down the image from being positive to try to turn it into something negative. So part of it, I think it was a bigger picture for me in terms of trying to undermine the type of prestige and image that he had developed. Now, for the university to take back rewards, wouldn't it be also fair and just to get his money back?
They're not going to do that. That's not part of it. That's not part of their destruction. Dr. Huxtable, and of course his wife was an attorney, two jobs that basically shouldn't be on TV. They want you to be something totally different, that you can laugh, you can do this. Not a good laugh. These were nice smiles because they had children. They were upscale, you know, black people basically. And it just showed that. So again, they're not going to get their money back. That's not the way they do things. We live in, under capitalism. When you give something, you don't give it back. Just the way it is. It's not a political thing. Politics sometimes, the rules and politics are totally different than philanthropy. That's a different ball game altogether. So being a philanthropist like he is, sending kids to college, paying kids to, for advanced degrees, this type of thing. This is what Bill did. Bill, I think, is worth close to $400 million in assets. They're going to strip him as far as they can. They're going to strip him as much as they can. His wealth, his assets, like they took his passport. They're doing things to him that, he's got it because he has a, private wife has an airplane also, private jet too. So these are the kind of things they're going to make sure. This is what we're going to do to you. You never get too big, not in the U.S. of A. You still who you are. We brought you here in chains. And we still got chains, imaginary chains around you now. It's the same thing. It's like I say again. The air has not changed. It's the same air.
Wow. So there are lessons that we can learn from this audience. Pay attention.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's talk a little bit about the Russian probe. Can you give our people an update? What lessons can we take so far from the Russian probe?
Well, again, Mueller is doing a fantastic job. It's getting closer to the White House. They also, I think, they interviewed the lawyer. She was the informant that met with Donald Trump and his sons and some other people there at the Trump Tower. They weren't supposed to know anything about, and of course, his phone was blocked. And they did not subpoena the telephone to see why his phone was blocked. At the moment, it's getting closer and closer to the White House. I figure in about another month, the indictments will start coming down, and you will be prized of some of these indictments. The major one at the moment is Stormy Daniels. This is going to be something totally different here. You're talking about a civil case and a criminal case. You have two. This is going to become part of the Russian probe because Donald Trump's lawyer is involved up to his nose, coercing and conspiratating a lot of things. And I guess he's taking the fifth for the moment, tense of taking the fifth. See, the difference is if you take the Fifth Amendment, why you should take it if you're not guilty of anything. That means you're guilty of something. I think they're going to make him flip. And when he flips, he's been knowing Donald Trump for over 20 years. Donald Trump made two admissions, that he is his personal lawyer, and he has done a fraction of things for him. Well, we're going to find out what these fractions are. And this is going to sort of open up things a little bit further. And then I said, be the first time they subpoena a president. And if you take the Fifth, it's automatic. He's guilty automatically. So, but the Fifth Amendment, basically applies to both what these guys are going through. So these guys have a lot to talk about, a lot to tell. I think the probe is going very well. There's not a lot of lying going on. And I'm thinking about another couple of months. A lot of things going to come out. With the NRA being involved, it's going to be a lot of stuff involved, contributions from different people, where does money come from, where does this money go. So it's a lot going to be involved, I think, in the next month or two. But right now, the latest is this young lady who met with Trump Tower as a lawyer, that she was not an informant, but now she says she was. This throws a whole new light on the Russian probe.
You know, Emmanuel, there seems to be so much stuff up in the air, particularly when it comes to people of color going out to restaurants and want to eat. Let's talk about recently there was this Nashville, Tennessee incident at a Waffle House. Actually, there were two incidents. I'll ask you for this one first. The Nashville incident at the Waffle House, where four young people were killed. Three of them was African or black, and one was a Latino, by a young white male. Now, look at the narrative of how the press have dealt with that. Give me your narrative. What lessons can we get from how they are dealing with the situation?
Well, as much as I know about it, he had an AR-15, and this is the rifle everybody wants to ban, the young kids want to ban when they're marching about. Don't need that type of rifle. Again, that's a killing machine. And I thought there would probably be a little bit more, we might say more press. The press gave as much as they could. But I thought it might be maybe a tweet from the president, because this young man was a hero. And he wrestled with AR-15. From this young man. It could have been a massive shooting. It could have been up in the teens. Because he had an AR-15. There should be a little bit more said about it. I think they passed a couple of laws or something. They did something, I think, down in Tennessee. Made it like a day for him. I think he put out online some to raise money. I think he took the money that came in. I think he buried the people with the money that came in. I'm quite sure. Well, over $87,000. I think he buried everybody in a very decent burial. He's not making a big thing of it. So he was trying to save his life. But again, we're going to see if the mental thing going to come up. Every time a white person does mass shootings, that's a mental problem. Do we have a mental problem in Chicago, in Baltimore, in Newark, New Jersey? Or do we have mental problems there? No one talks about it. Because they're black, basically, that's doing the shooting. And not mass shootings, per se, but they're shootings on a daily basis, just about. But again, the excuses are there. The excuses always, and built-in excuses, when a white person does mass shootings. No one tried to kill him, but again, it just armed him, whatever. And I think his name was Shaw, the young man that wrestled a gun away from him. He was trying to save his life. I don't think there was enough about that. The Waffle House is a huge franchise. You're not going to get too much from that. Because, again, people buy their franchises, and there's a lot of them out there. I have no idea what the number is. But, again, you're talking about something that's a stable, some like Starbucks, some similar. How far do we take it? But this was murder. Four people got killed. Starbucks, two young men got arrested because of they were sitting there and didn't order the thing right away. Like nobody do in Starbucks. I've been to Starbucks many times myself. And people are doing Wi-Fi, doing everything, changing babies' diapers, doing all kind of stuff. Ain't nobody ordered nothing. Sometimes they sit outside and just have conversations, writing a novel. That's all they be doing. So this is highly controversial. But again, the Waffle House is a franchise. And franchises, see, a little bit different when murder happens. Murder happens there. They sort of put kid gloves on it. And they have put kid gloves on this. But the other way around, where a black person shot maybe four white people in the restaurant, be a different story. It would be like a race war. They'll be called for all kind of crazy stuff. But again, the double standard, when there's positive news, make sure it's only 10%. When there's negative news, make sure it's 90%. I'm going to pull that correlation in there because this is what happens. 10% of good news. Mr. Shaw, again, mass murder didn't happen. Four people have got it's mass murder to me. When there's three or more people, I think it's a mass murder. But like I said, didn't get the press that it should have gotten from different places. And didn't get the notoriety, I think, from the president at all. When something like this had happened. And he tweets on everything. He didn't tweet on this, and I hadn't even addressed this. And this is four people getting killed with an AR-15 rifle, the one everybody's talking about. Get it off the street.
And I still haven't heard what's the rationale of shooting these people. They were doing nothing.
As I said again, it's not being out there in the press like it should be. It's very difficult. Because, again, the double standards. The double standard, again, and positive news not supposed to, go by that only 10% of the time. 90% of the time, negative news, they press it. They really, really press it. So this is what you got. You got the double standards. You got different platforms. And who owns the newspapers? I mean, who owns the news? Who owns it? They're going to make sure they pitulate the way they want you to pitulate it. And they're going to make sure that bad things to them make them out of good things. Sometimes the way you spin it. You spin as much as you can. You're not going to get a whole lot of news on this. Just not going to get it. It's not going to happen. Because, again, it's a franchise. It's a well-known franchise. And they don't need bad publicity. If people stop going to Waffle House because of this, they're not going to have that. That's why it's not been publicized, like you say, that you're looking for. It's not going to happen.
Some must be now at the Waffle House, Baron. Also, last week, there was another Waffle House incident where you had two young African women place an order in the food. This happened in Mobile, Alabama, where they place an order of food. And one of the young ladies asked the clerk that she would like to have a plastic spoon and a plastic fork. Well, as a result of asking for a plastic spoon and a plastic fork, it elevated all the way to the point where they called the police. And the police came in and literally stripped down one of the young ladies. And physically, they abused her terrible. They did all kind of things to her over this incident of asking for a plastic spoon and a plastic fork. And it's all on the internet. I mean, the question becomes, where are these common sense? Where are the sense of decency? I mean, it's something to see on the internet, how they dealt with these two young ladies for no reason at all. Something must be in the air with the Waffle House, Emmanuel.
Yeah, I didn't hear this
anyway,
much about it. I just touched on it. Like I said, one of those things you sort of passes you by over a plastic spoon and a plastic fork. It's like the same as Starbucks. Guys are sitting there waiting on another person to show up. I've been to restaurants plenty of time. As we've got, six people are coming, two will be coming. We just sit there. They might come 15, 20, 30 minutes later. But for a party of six, and we only got four. No one bothers us. No one did this or that. But again, it's just sensitive sometimes. Some people are very sensitive. It's just the way they are. They grew up in this type of vacuum, this racist type vacuum, and they can't get it out of their system. It's systematic. Just can't get out of the unit. Can never get it out. It's almost like a sickness. Sickness comes from symptoms. And it's only people got symptoms. They will never get rid of it. Never.
Well, to our listening audience, this is Missing Pages History. We are talking about lessons that need to be learned. We are talking to one of our contributors, analysts, and historian, Emmanuel. He is giving his perspectives on various issues, and we'd like to have your feedback later on in the program. But for right now, what we're going to do, we're going to pause for the calls, we're going to take a station break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the many clouds under the Trump Tower, the many clouds under the Trump Tower, and we later on open up to you and listen to some of your concerns and feedback based upon what has been discussed today. So this is Missing Pages in History. There seems to be like a lot of ball of confusion going on around this world. So we're going to pause for this call, and we'll be right back.
One, two, three, four.
Bridges, not walls. just looking at things that seem like, why are we discussing these type of things? This is a land of immigrants. Only one group came and changed, and that was African Americans. Africans came and changed. Everybody came on their free will, basically. We came up under slavery, segregation, Jim Crow, everything you can think of. We're the ones they don't want here, basically, that they brought here for a reason, for labor, to work, because they're not going to do no work. Working is not on their resume. It's just not there. So this confusion we got going on is just amazing to me. The right and the left, the Democrats and Republicans, everything seemed to be bipartisan. Everything seemed to be so disagreeable. Can't agree upon anything, you know, when it's right. When it's right, you're trying to make it wrong. Where we go from here? The voting, people are trying to basically direct our process of voting the way they want it to go. Because the United States is changing, becoming a brown United States. People are losing their power. They want to stay in power. Well, I look at things like South Africa, where 99% was Africans, black Africans, but 1% ran the nation. Whites ran the nation. Totally wrong, but they're going to make it right. It was total confusion to a certain point. We're not going to get out of this easy. Not going to be too easy getting out of this. I look at the protests. There's never been as many protests, people marching around the world because things aren't right. People like wrongness. Sin is in. Sin is in big time. We have to understand that. The world is changing. The global world is changing. The systems are changing. What's democratic anymore is not democratic anymore. Who gets to the finish line first? Everything is a race. Who wants to win? It's not how you win. You just got to win. As I look at things, I pray a lot. Prayer changes things. Very difficult. When sin seemed to be the forefront, we seem to praise sin. And we have to admit to that. That's what we're doing. We're praising sinful things. Sinful things seem to be on top of everything. Regardless of what happens, sin seems to be there. How are we treating our fellow men? How do we treat them? We talk about building a wall. Like I said, again, we need to build bridges, not walls. I hope that answers some of your questions on this big ball of confusion.
Yes, keep along the line, Emmanuel. Let's go to our segment, Many Clouds Under the Trump Tower. Well, you know, recently there was a report where Donald Trump has been accused of having an affair with his housekeeper and possibly producing a child. What you know about this alleged allegation?
Well, the doorman at the Trump Tower, I call it the Trump World Tower, doorman. He released a statement saying that he got paid $30,000 again. Where is money coming from? Thanks for the Dutch Inquirer or the American Media Incorporated. That a competence agreement was agreed upon. And it leaked to the press. And why he was working at Trump Tower. He was instructed not to criticize President Trump's former housekeeper prior to the relationship she had with President Trump, which produced a child. Now, that's being looked into deeply. He has not addressed it yet. Having a child, that'd be his seventh child. It's just amazing to me that we have this guy sitting at the White House, the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful country in the world. And he just sits there and blasts out sometime on Fox News this craziness. He is not fit to be. He knows it. He's way above his head. But that's all I have on that. Maybe we can learn some more about that later. How far they're going into this. But again, $30,000 got paid out again. It's just amazing the money that's being thrown around for his protection and things that he does. It's just amazing. Or he denied it. He denied Storm Daniels. Got pictures. Everything. This guy is, just a pathological liar. We know that. He done told over 2,000 lies so far. And people protect his lies. And they lie with him. That's the Republican way. And I tell people over and over again, they can make the T-shirt if they like. They spell the word Republicans. They spell the word. And in that word Republican, you need to circle the L, circle the I, the A, the R, and the S, that they are liars. Just take the word itself and circle the letters, what I just told you to do. We need to make T-shirts and wear those T-shirts. Let's make America great again. Well, let's put that up there, Republicans, and circle the word liars, the letters L-I-A-R-S. Let's do that one.
Emmanuel, what can you tell us about the Speaker of the House, Ryan, just recently fired the chaplain? I don't know if that has ever been done before, but what was the driving force behind him firing the chaplain?
I think that he talked about taxes in his prayer. And Ryan did not like that at all. He's taking political views now. So that he's not meeting the special needs of Congress, you might say. So that was why he fired him, basically, because he said a few things about taxes.
So he gets to find what people can and can't say?
Well, again, in this chaotic White House, this administration, you got to be careful what you say. You have to be very loyal. Everything depends on your loyalty and lying. You got to protect the lie. When a lie is told, you got to protect the lie. And he was speaking about taxes, basically. And the Bible speaks about taxes, I think, more than 2,000 times about the poor. You are taxing the poor and giving it to the rich. and what he was talking about. That's
speaking
why.
Speaking about taxing the poor and giving the rich, there was a statement recently made this week in the Trump administration from Dr. Ben Carson, who is the Secretary of State of Housing Authority. Mr. Carson made a statement that he believed that part of the problem with the deficit in the budget is that the government is spending too much money on public housing, Section 8. He suggested that the government should go up 3 times the amount of rent for Section H housing. What you make up that particular attitude with Demeanor Emmanuel? And how does this budget really work? Does Section 8 get a lot of money from the budget, or is this just a smokescreen for something else?
Just a smokescreen again. Section 8 housing is very profitable. And first of all, who owns the housing? That's number one. Who owns it? See, who benefits from it? From the Section 8 housing? Who benefits from that? See, we look at things a certain way sometimes, and we don't ask the what, the why, the when, why are they doing certain things. Projects is it's part of the housing authority. Who build these projects? Where are they located? Who owns the land they built them on? See, all this is, again, we're talking about money. We're talking about capitalism. Who benefits from this? The people that live there, they're very poor. You got 41% of people in America live in poverty or below the poverty with $30,000 for a family of four. The food stamps. Public housing, vouchers. Who benefits from this? Who benefits from all of this? So Dr. Carson, he's out of his element anyhow, way out of his element. I think his house is worth $4 or $5 million. So he wouldn't know too much about this, don't he? He's got to stay in one for a whole week and see what it feels like. What it has to be poor for once. But again, he's out of his element, like I said before. This don't affect the budget that much at all. That's one of the smallest budgets out there is housing. One of the smallest budgets out there for subsidizing. But you got to have that. Again, that's one of the line items of capitalism to make capitalism work. You got to make everything out there pay off some type of way. Everything has to pay off. And you pay to who? Who are you paying it to? Who's getting the benefit? Who is the rent collector? Who is the landlord of Section 8 housing? Who are they? That's kind of who they are. See, that's when people talk, they'd just be talking. But no one talks about who is benefiting from this? Who benefits from food stamps? Where do you take them to? Who gets extra pay for taking them? Who benefits from food stamps? There's a lot that goes on with this. Who is the beneficiary? And we don't discuss it. We don't look at that. But again, that would not does not affect the budget, affecting anything, believe me. It's already, the allocation is already there. It's already there.
So, man, if I hear you clearly, you making the point that, are you saying most of these social programs are geared towards really benefit the wealth?
That's correct, the wealth. That's correct. That's all, because they don't want to afford it. Didn't do it.
What a game they are playing on our people. Emmanuel, before we take another station break, we'd like to you speak. Just speak on the issue of, you know, we used to say sometime in life, it's not who you know, but what you know. It's not what you know, but who you know. And if you look at how this administration functions, it seems like this is definitely not the truth to that statement. what you make of Dr. Rodney Johnson, the Secretary of the Veterans Administration Department, who recently turned down, he turned down his nomination because many people felt like he was unqualified. What you make of this whole process of the selection that Donald Trump had chosen for his cabinet, and many of them have been rejected so far?
Well, Admiral Jackson was he's a military man. He was a personal position of three presidents, including Barack Obama. And that's all. He just said personal position. Make sure your heart is ticking every day. That's his job. Now, to appoint him to be Secretary of the Veterans Administration, that's way out of his element. I think the most people he ever was supervised was about 50. You're talking about 136,000 people. You're talking about the second largest, you might say, department in our government. The first is the Pentagon. Of course, that's, you know, includes the military and all that. But again, here's a man who was totally unqualified to take on this particular job. We're talking about Secretary of the military, basically, to the military veterans. This is huge. This is something that goes global. And he has no idea. And when they looked him up and they didn't vet him properly, so he, of course, he stepped down from the nomination because wasn't nobody, he wasn't going to get through the confirmation process because he had a lot of things against him, being drunk, they said wrecking an automobile, talking down to his staff, giving people pills to keep him awake from working such long hours. They called him, they had a special name for him for popping pills. But this is not what this is all about. The Secretary of the Veterans Administration, I can tell you the largest organization, second largest. You're talking about something that a guy has to be head of some huge organization, over 100,000 employees. I mean, to take on some of this magnitude. This is not your regular any type of job, you might say, that anybody can do, not just a private position. This guy was only a physician. That's all he is. Nothing else. And you're going to take on some of this magnitude because of loyalty? Because he said Donald Trump was in good health? And Donald Trump weighs over 230 pounds? He can't even do that. But by saying that, Donald Trump, I'm going to point you, do this. Donald has no idea. He way over his head. And they're going to point a guy, definitely going to be over his head. So that was just a bad appointment. That was not a... No, I'm glad the young man stepped down from it, took his name off the list. I heard lately that Chief of Staff Kelly, he might be moved in that to position. I think a four-star general with the Marines. You don't have to be a doctor. You should not be a doctor to run the veterans program. You got to be an administrator. You got to see what's wrong. Get your great staff. Things you got to check out the facilities. Make sure guys are getting service properly. Make sure everything you can possibly do for a veteran is being done. And you got to move. You actually got to make sure it's done on time or close proximity of time as possible. And understand you got to have panels and a lot of panels, a lot of committees. It's a lot involved in heading up the Veterans Administration because you're basically talking about young and you're talking about old. You're talking about 20 million people that are veterans. You're talking about 9 million that are basically active to a certain extent or receiving benefits. It's a lot involved when you're talking about the veterans, when you still got wars going on now. You're talking about some going on active and some are not going on, the veterans who are not there. You're talking about veterans of the Vietnam War, Korean War. You're talking about Afghanistan. You're talking about a lot here. And the approach is totally different. So I'm glad he stepped down because this is this is not your everyday type job. This is one of the most important jobs. It's a stretch out type job. When I say stretch out, I just stretch it out for you. You're talking about the global. Veterans in 186 countries. That's a lot. You're talking about embassies. You're talking about some of everything. You're talking about trying to patrol the world. 86 different places. That's a lot. For one man that don't have anything but don't know how to check your heart and check your blood pressure or your vital signs. That's all he's been doing.
Emmanuel and our listening audience, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a brief station break. And when we come back, we're going to be closing out with a announcement from Susie on what's up with MPH. And final thoughts from Emmanuel. And he will talk to us a little bit about a future program as we continue to discuss this concept of today's capitalism born in slavery. Also, if you have any questions or comments, you can do so when we return back by hitting 1 and we acknowledge the last 4 numbers. Hit 1 if you have any comments or questions when we come back. So right now, this is Missing Pages History. We're going to take a station break and we'll be right back. We're talking about lessons you need to learn.
Choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more
and love for our nation would make a better society.
And if you had a choice.
We'd like to welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. Right now, what we want to do is go to Susie, who will give us an update on what's happening with MPH. Susie, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Good evening. Hi. First of all, I'd like to remind everyone we have our quarterly raffle fundraiser drawing, which will be held on Saturday, June the 2nd at 1 o'clock p.m. Do not need to be present to win. You can listen to in at 818-337-0016 for Missing Pages of History. The raffle will be done live. And also, we have our upcoming MPH TV show, which will can be seen on Comcast Channel 95 or Fios Channel 36. And that's on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. And it'll be starting September the 12th. And it's a weekly live call-in show. Also, we have an ongoing MPH T-shirt cap drive. And you can place your orders by going to www.mphinc.org, or either you can contact one of our representatives by calling 804-726-3217, or you can also go to our email address at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com for tickets. And last and final, just a reminder, we have our biweekly MPH radio program, which is on Saturdays, and that's at 1 o'clock p.m., and the next one will be on May the 12th. And I thank you for listening to us, and I'll turn you over to Lee.
And Susie, again, could you give that website address where you can find more information on all the various activities and programs and objectives that they want to achieve to improve our underserved communities? Where's that website again?
Okay. Okay, their website address is www.mphinc.org. Missing Pages of History's website.
So listen, buddy, please check out the website. You can find out more about MPH. Emmanuel, the summit in the fall is coming up. What are some of the goals, objectives, aspirations of MPH in terms of what they seek to do in terms of improving underserved communities?
Well, we're going to do some things in tutorial programs. We're going to do some things, AU basketball. We're going to try to get a big book club started for kids and alternative schools and make sure we visit those alternative schools in our community. And we're going to do a food drive. Of course, our Christmas drive will be coming up, some things we're doing this summer. And summer camps. So we're going to take a look at that, try to get some of our kids in summer camps in certain cities. But I want you guys to keep following us. We've got some historical things coming up as far as the matter we'll be talking about, some racism, the capitalism. We're going to be doing a segment, different segments on Africa. And the one we're doing, starting, we're going to continue this one, called Today's Capitalism Was Born in Slavery. And what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you some things that we don't know too much about. And we're going to transfer everything from today's capitalism to modern capitalism and how this is taking a global effect over the world. Stay tuned. We're going to start again our missing page of history. Something the history books are not going to tell you in depth, because again, they have to spare themselves from being nice guys. We want to show you the cruelty. We want to talk about the Industrial Revolution. Things we're going to be talking about that got us where we are today and why we're in the fix we're in today. And we will not get out of this fix we're in today. Because, again, we're going to look at the United States again and elsewhere in the emergence of modern capitalism. We're going to look at other countries that we're doing the same thing to. The Brazilians of the world, the Chinas, the Japans, the Europeans. We're going to take a hard look at that. Industrial capitalism, we're going to take a hard look at that. So stay tuned. So on that 12th of our May program, we're going to talk about today's capitalism was born in slavery.
All right. To our listening audience, if you have any questions, comments, we can take it right now. If not, Emmanuel, what we're going to do right now, Emmanuel, we say our theme today is lessons that need to be learned. Give me your summation of today's program. What's your final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listening audience?
Well, I want to take a look at and see how everything is expounded, everything is talked about. See what's important, what's not important. See what's being expressed in journalism and what is not being expressed. Look at the Koreas, South Korea and North Korea. They're shaking hands, they're talking. That the country was basically divided and trying to get it back together. I think the sanctions made the young man in North Korea exactly how we stood. And again, we cannot police the whole world and bring their ideas, our ideas, and put it on them. That's a different culture. The culture is totally different. It's a different. Most of those nations are not made up of immigration. Some are forced immigration because of the atrocities that they have. So force them to go into another country, per se. We, our arms are wide open. We have the Statue of Liberty, and we welcome everyone. And that's where we are. Pray hard, pray deep, because this country needs a lot of prayer. It needs a lot of prayer. But we have to understand one thing. We have to live and let people live also. And give people good advice so they can make good choices. A lot of times we make bad choices because we're not informed enough. Missing Pages of History, I'll do the best I can to inform you so you can make better choices. And sometimes it will help you a long way to get where you need to be getting. Because, again, disruption is here. The man we have in office right now, he is very destructive. He came in office destroying everything that President Obama did because his basis, because this man became President of the United States being an African-American for 8 years. His job is to make sure I destroy everything he did to try to take some history, some historical things away. Obama don't pay him much mind. You don't pay ignorance much mind. You don't pay incompetence much mind. That's why Obama doesn't answer him a whole lot when he say things about, oh, everything is Obama, Obama, Obama. He's got Obama on the brain. But again, vote. Vote. Vote these people out of office that are doing things wrong, and you know they're wrong. And like I said before, and I said, tell you again, look at the word Republicans, and again, circle the L, the I, the A, the R, and the S. That's what you got in office right now.
And on that note, we'd like to thank our listening audience, Emmanuel, and all those who have contributed to help make this program possible. And we'd like to remind you that, remember, history is very important. It is through history where we come to learn about the past so we can understand the future, and we can use it as a blueprint to make a better decision to create a better future for mankind. We at Missing Pages of History know that when we look at the history books today, many of our pages have been left out. So we encourage you to come and join us and help us to fill in those missing pages of history. Until next time, we'd like to thank you, and remember, let's strive to always go forward ever and backwards never. This has been Missing Pages of History.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Had tears with my baby sister. Over the years we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps she was giving. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama, you all appreciate it. Pour some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me, and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama.